So the Heidelberg Catechism is a helpful summary and consolidation of what the scriptures teach about what is true faith. So we'll go through what the Heidelberg says and some of the scriptures with it, that we might see what the Bible says about what true faith is. Lord's Day 6 talked about our mediator and his saving work, that our Lord Jesus Christ was given to us for our complete deliverance and righteousness. And then the question naturally follows from that. If Jesus was given for a complete forgiveness of sins and righteousness, is everyone saved in Jesus Christ in the same way that everyone fell in Adam? We get the answer that no, only those who have true faith in Jesus Christ and are grafted into Christ and accept all his benefits. So it rejects a universalism. The Bible again and again says that not everybody is saved, but only those that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Heidelberg says, only those who have true faith. And then question 21 explains what true faith is. Because everyone has faith. Everyone has faith in something. People love to talk about faith in institutions, maybe faith in themselves. You gotta have faith. The media, I think, is actually the worst about this. When they talk about faith, hear about, yeah, faith in our institutions, but also people of faith. That term bothers me when I hear it in the news, because they just lump everyone together. People of faith, whatever that means. Could be people of all religions or all stripes, and they just say, people of faith. But just a general faith doesn't cut it. Even Christians can fall into this way of thinking and talking. Maybe you have the family member that really you don't see any fruit in their lives, and you have really no good reason to think they're a Christian, but you hold out some hope, so you say, he has a faith, some manner of faith. And maybe you convince yourself that that's all you need. There's actually many kinds of faith talked about in the Bible. I mean, think about the parable of the sower. In Matthew 13, Jesus talks about seed, the gospel, that was sown on rocky ground. And there's one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, and endures for a while, and when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. There's a temporary faith that ends in falling away when anything gets difficult, when any persecution arises. There's a temporary faith in the scriptures. And Jesus says, and also there's that that's sown among the thorns. This is one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. There's temporary faith. But also there's a faith in miracles, a faith that's kind of put in the wrong thing. In Acts 8, there's Simon the magician. He was known as a wonder worker, a magician. And it says in verse 13, even Simon himself believed. The Bible says he believed. He had some sort of faith. And after being baptized, he continued with Philip, seeing signs and great miracles. And he was amazed. And then he saw the apostles lay their hands on someone, and that person received the Holy Spirit. And Simon said, oh, I'll give you money. Give me this power also, so that anyone whom I lay my hands on could receive the Holy Spirit. And Simon's condemned for this. You see that his faith was just in the power of the apostles. They're doing great things. And he wanted some power for himself. I believe in that. Whatever gives the magician more magical powers. That's what he was looking for. So you could have a temporary faith, a faith in miracles. But what is true faith? What is the faith in Jesus Christ that saves? That's what we're going to be looking at. Theologians and Christians who've searched the scriptures for generations have put it this way. True faith is made up of knowledge, assent, and trust. There's three parts to true faith, and you need all three parts. We'll look at these three parts in the scriptures along with them. So the first thing is knowledge. The Heidelberg Catechism in question 20 says, true faith is not only a sure knowledge. We need that sure knowledge. Faith isn't just a feeling. That's another way that our culture today mistakes faith, that it's just a feeling, or that faith is a blind step into the abyss. Blind faith is actually an oxymoron. When you have faith in something, you know what that thing is and you're trusting in it. So true faith that the Bible talks about and that the Heidelberg Catechism is pointing out, it knows something. True faith knows Jesus Christ. In John 17:3, Jesus in the high priestly prayer says, "And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Knowledge of God and of Jesus is that eternal life. And Peter, on behalf of the apostles in John 6, says, "Lord, to whom shall we go? For you have the words of eternal life. And we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." So true faith knows Jesus. But there's content. It isn't just knowing the name of Jesus. Having his name on your lips is not enough. There's content to the faith, particularities that are contained in God's word. That's why the Heidelberg Catechism says, "It's not only a sure knowledge by which I hold as true all that God has revealed to us in his word." So we know also the word. In questions 22 and 23, what must a Christian believe? All that is promised us in the gospel, a summary of which is taught us in the articles of our Catholic and undoubted Christian faith. And then it gives us the Apostles' Creed, saying to be a Christian, to have true saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have to know at least the basics about who Jesus is and what he has done. That's the basic message of the scriptures, is salvation by faith in Christ Jesus. If you can't say the most basic gospel formulation, then that wouldn't be saving faith. You need some knowledge, some content to have saving faith in the Lord. And also, the Apostles' Creed, right, is Trinitarian. I believe in God the Father, I believe in Jesus Christ, and I believe in the Holy Spirit. A faith in some skewed picture of God that leaves out Father, Son, and Holy Spirit wouldn't be the knowledge that is needed. And if you want to see this from the scriptures, we saw first that there's knowledge, but also in Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Do you see the content there? Believe in your heart that Jesus is the Lord and that God raised him from the dead. There's at least two basic confessions there. Jesus is the Lord and that he's been resurrected by the power of God. That's basic Christian doctrine, basic gospel instruction that you need. It's not to say that you need to have a comprehensive knowledge of the scriptures or that you need to be a theologian to be saved. But if you really can't explain just the most basic gospel truth about who Jesus is and what he did on the cross, that isn't the kind of faith that Jesus is looking for. He wants you to believe the truth in his word and the doctrines taught in it. But knowledge isn't enough. It's not that we just know things about Jesus. Because you could think even atheist critics know things about Jesus. They just don't believe they're true. or the liberal theologians, they know about the resurrection. They know that the Bible teaches that. They just don't believe it. That brings us to the second part, assent. This is what the Heidelberg Catechism says. Faith is not only a sure knowledge by which I hold as true. To hold it as true. That's basically what assent is. Assent is defined as to express approval or agreement. So you have to know the basic gospel truth, but also agree that it is true. Christians hear the good news about Jesus, and they judge it to be true, good, and worthy of our love and desire. They say that they see that the Bible says that Jesus is God, that he died on the cross, that he died for our sins, was buried, and was raised on the third day. And we believe that that's true. We believe what the Bible says is true. Assent is conviction of the knowledge you have. Conviction that it is true. But again, assent on its own isn't enough. The Roman Catholic Church says that you need implicit faith, is what they call it. It means if you just say, I believe whatever the church teaches, that's good enough. Even if you don't really know what the church teaches, you don't know what they say or what God's word really says. But if you say, I believe whatever the church says, good enough. No, you need some basic knowledge about who Jesus is and what he's done, and you need to agree that those things are true. But to have knowledge and assent isn't enough. You need the three ingredients, knowledge, assent, and trust. Because there's what theologians call a historic faith. It means you could believe Jesus lived and died, and you could believe that he was a historical figure on earth. But you just leave it there. Yeah, Jesus, he was around. He died on the cross. And this is what James is getting at in James 2:19. He's talking about what true faith is. And he says, you believe that God is one. There's basic doctrine. You believe God is one. You do well. Good job. Even the demons believe and shudder. Demons have the right knowledge. They know that God is. We read in the Gospels that even some demons encountered Jesus Christ while he was walking on the earth. They knew who he was. They knew what God says about him. They believed it. They believed it was true. They had knowledge and assent, but they shuddered at that knowledge because they did not trust in Jesus Christ. True faith includes trust. Knowledge, assent, and trust. The Heidelberg Catechism says, the true faith is not only a sure knowledge by which I hold as true all that God has revealed to us in his word, it is also a wholehearted trust or a hearty trust. St. Augustine says, we believe Paul, but we do not believe in Paul. See that distinction? We can believe and know what Paul says, believe it is true, but we don't put our trust in Paul to save us from our sins. We put our trust in Jesus Christ. True faith trusts in a person who's made promises to us in the gospel. You trust Jesus that these promises are true for you. Knowledge and conviction that this is true moves to confidence, that you can have total abandon and refuge and confidence in Jesus Christ to save you. That leads to the tranquility and peace that we can have in Christ. Like it says in Ephesians 3, in Christ we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. We trust Jesus so much that we can boldly come before the throne of God. It's like a child trusting in their father. And the father bids them to jump into his arms. The kid does it because they know their father. They trust him. They know that he is strong and able. And he says, I will catch you. He gives them this promise, and they know their father. They believe what he said, and they trust him. And they jump into his arms, knowing that he will catch them. It's like in Hebrews 10, the author says, let us draw near with a true heart in the full assurance of faith. See, the assurance of faith, the confidence and trust with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. You see, there's a confession, a knowledge of the Savior that he is faithful, and a full assurance and trust in who he is. This is really the key and essential aspect of faith, without which it is not true faith. You need to really trust in Jesus, in his person, and in his work. True faith is resting and receiving Jesus Christ, offered to you in the gospel of grace. So what does faith earn you? If you have true faith, what does it earn you? Let's hear this quote from J.C. Ryle. True faith has nothing whatever of merit about it, and in the highest sense cannot be called a work. It is but laying hold of a Savior's hand, leaning on a husband's arm, or receiving a physician's medicine. It brings with it nothing to Christ but a sinful man's soul. Faith gives nothing, contributes nothing, pays nothing, performs nothing. It only receives and takes and accepts, grafts onto and embraces the glorious gift of justification which Christ bestows. You see that? True faith doesn't earn you anything. Faith is the instrument by which we receive all the benefits and blessings that are in Christ Jesus. A Christian can have true faith, and true faith can be weak or strong. True faith isn't something that you have to have perfect knowledge of the scriptures, like we said before. There can be degrees of knowledge. There can be degrees of trust. And it still can be true faith. Because it's not the merit of your faith that gets you the blessings and benefits that are in Christ Jesus. Faith is like an umbilical cord. The infant's life is supported through the umbilical cord. But we wouldn't say that it's the umbilical cord that is upholding the life of the infant. But rather, it's the mother and her life that is supporting the child through the umbilical cord. It's the instrument or the channel by which the child's life is upheld. And you see, faith is like that umbilical cord because the waste of the child is given to the mother and processed by the mother, and nourishment and life is given to sustain the child in her womb. So too, with faith, we lay hold of Jesus Christ, and our sin is put upon him. And all of his benefits and blessings and righteousness is poured out upon us. B.B. Warfield says, it's not faith that saves. It's faith in Jesus Christ. And it's not, strictly speaking, even faith in Christ that saves, but Christ that saves through faith. The saving power resides exclusively not in the act of faith or the attitude of faith, but in the object of faith. The saving power is all in Jesus Christ, in whom we believe. Faith just connects us to him and unites us to him. That's what question 20 says, that only those are saved who through true faith are grafted into Christ and accept all his benefits. By faith, we are united to him and engrafted in him. We have Jesus. Jesus is yours. And the benefits come through being united to him. That's where the Heidelberg goes in question 21. God has freely granted, not only to others, but to me also, forgiveness of sins, eternal righteousness, and salvation. There are the benefits received in faith. Acts 10:43, to him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives the forgiveness of sins through his name. By faith in Jesus Christ, you receive the forgiveness of sins. United to him by faith, all your sins are nailed to the cross. Jesus died your death for you and bore all the curse that you deserve. Your sins are forgiven and your debts are paid. Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. By faith in Jesus Christ, you're justified. You receive his eternal righteousness. At the judgment seat, the judge will say, you were perfectly righteous because you were not united to Jesus Christ and justified by faith. You'll be robed in his eternal righteousness. And the Philippian jailer, he asks Paul and Silas in Acts 16, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household. See, salvation is just that umbrella term to mean all the parts of salvation, from predestination and election and calling and regeneration, being united with Christ and justified by faith in him, receiving the forgiveness of sins, adoption as his children, and glorification and eternal life. Salvation, all the spiritual blessings in the heavenly places come by faith in Jesus Christ. Salvation is in Christ alone. And you can only have Christ by faith alone. Faith is the one way to Christ. Our faith doesn't earn us anything. And that's what the Heidelberg gets at, that it says at the end of 21, these gifts are purely of grace and only because of Christ's merit. You only receive salvation, eternal righteousness, and the forgiveness of sins because of what Jesus did. And they're only given to you by grace. That's to say, undeserved, given freely by God as a gift. Question next should be, how do I get true faith? How do I get true faith that I can lay hold of Jesus and receive all these wonderful blessings? Heidelberg tells us the Holy Spirit works it in me by the gospel. God ordinarily works faith in the hearts of sinners by the preaching of his holy word. That as you hear the gospel good news about Jesus Christ, the Spirit works faith in the heart of sinners. Romans 10, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. And faith is a gift, as we read from Ephesians. By grace you have been saved through faith. There we see faith is that instrument, through faith. And it is not your own doing. It's a gift of God. God gives us faith by the Holy Spirit working in your hearts. Okay, then, is God going to do it? Is he going to do it for you that you believe? Or does he believe for you? Believing is man's responsibility. Man is responsible for believing. You do the believing. It's God's gift, but you respond in faith. Jesus calls upon men in Mark 1, repent and believe the gospel. He's calling upon you to believe in him. John Murray says, regeneration is an act of God and God alone, that he regenerates you and makes you able to believe. But faith is not the act of God. It's not God who believes in Christ. It's the sinner who believes in Christ for salvation. It's by the grace of God that a person is able to believe. It's an activity on the part of the person to believe. In faith, we receive and rest upon Christ alone for salvation. Faith, it's like a child holding on to their father. When I hold my one-year-old daughter, she grips closely onto me. She holds my shirt. She can barely wrap her arms around my shoulders, and she holds on. But it's not so much that she is holding on to me as I'm holding her, and she does her very best to grip on. But if I let go, she would fall. It's like the hymn we sang, I sought the Lord and afterwards I knew. It says, I sought the Lord, and afterwards I knew that he moved my soul to seek him, seeking me. It was not I that found the Savior true. No, I was found. 'Twas not so much that I took hold of thee, dear Lord, as thou on me. See, it's man's responsibility to believe, but God enables you and gives you that faith that you might exercise it. So if you've never believed, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent and believe, and you will be saved. Lay hold of Jesus Christ, and all those benefits will be yours. The complete forgiveness of sins, eternal righteousness, and salvation. Or if you're the Christian who's sitting here thinking, well, now I don't know if my faith is true. I'm examining it, and there's three parts to faith. I didn't even know that. The same goes for you. Repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust in him for the complete forgiveness of your sins. Cling to Jesus. Embrace him. Hold on to him, and he will hold you in his everlasting arms. Trust in him to take care of your sins and save you. Like a child, cling to Jesus, and he will hold you. Amen. Let's pray.